fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Uganda, where some sports stadiums are being used to quarantine and treat COVID-19 patients. One top health official says he greatly appreciates how these sports venues are supporting the national response to the coronavirus crisis. From Kampala, Magume Davis Rakawinge filed this feature for us.
Dr. Richard Ibosa, the head of COVID-19 response team in the Bikoi district of Eastern Uganda, says the jail training center was selected because it's isolated and is spacious, thus has less chances of committing transmission of COVID-19.
It is well fenced. The whole place is under a very good fence, so there are no possibilities of somebody who is suspected of being positive of mixing with the communities around. So, and with the security on the gate, we make sure that these people are localized, even within the facility localized. They are not allowed to move out until they are released officially after getting results from the samples taken from them.
Located more than 80 kilometers away from the capital Kampala, the facility has received at least 100 people suspected of COVID-19, including Kenyans, Tanzanians, Rwandans and Ugandans, mainly truck drivers. Dr. Bosa is grateful sports facilities are directly playing a part in fighting the coronavirus disease.
Like injury is being used to quarantine the suspects, and they are being planned to actually be isolation or treatment centers in the future in case we get many cases. These facilities have been availed to Ministry of Health, to districts. This is very good, and it is the evidence that sports or sports facilities are being supportive to the national response against COVID-19 in the country.
Ahmed Hussein is a spokesperson of Local FA, Federation of Uganda Football Associations, or FUFA.
As an institution running football in the country, and also on behalf of the football family, we believe that we can also play a part in saving the lives of those who have been, of course, affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. We can't attach any value to what, of course, the institution was going to spend during the period. Maybe the center is active, but we believe that many other people out there have also done the same in supporting the National Task Force, that is trying to fight the pandemic.
Usually, the facility works as a training ground for junior and senior national teams. It also hosts both local and regional youth tournaments, including SECAFA. COVID-19 is highly infectious and can stay on some surfaces for days. Dr. Bosa says they always fumigate the stadium and will disinfect it once the coronavirus pandemic has been overcome, so the stadium can be safe for use again.
As soon as we discharge people from that that facility, so we make sure that whenever a new team is coming in, the place is fumigated. Whenever they are moving out, we actually use the inmates themselves to fumigate the place. And when they go away, we still fumigate. And at times we get teams from the Ministry of Health who come fumigate quarantine centers.
In related development, FUFA this week approved the appropriation of the FIFA COVID-19 relief grant of $500,000, which will be allocated to local clubs in coming days. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinje in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dr. Richard Bosa. I'm the district health officer of Buikwe District in Uganda. I want to greet all of you and thank you for the support you've done to the country and to the whole world and the humanity in a fight against this pandemic of COVID-19. And I ask you to continue preventing this disease, first of all, to get to you, but also to you people who are near you by keeping distances, putting on your face masks, making sure that you observe the cleanliness, you sanitize, you regularly wash your hands, and make sure that we stay healthy so that when things cool down, so that we go back to our sports facilities, use them, entertain us, and keep healthy generally. Thank you so much for all the support.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Today marks the 25th anniversary of Ghana lifting the trophy at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup football tournament in Ecuador. On August 20th, 1995, the Ghanaian boys beat Brazil 3-2 in the final for their second world title at the Under-17 level. The victory set off celebrations throughout Ghana, as we hear now from Yao Ofusu-Larbi in Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Glory, ecstasy, pandemonium. Youth football has always been Ghana's forte. It is Ghana's real place, a stage where the country has shown its quality many times. The 90s, though, were the best years. Cup wins, talented players, and a camaraderie to die for in teams filled with young players picked from various cult clubs scattered across the country. The Black Starlets beat Brazil 3-2 in the final to win the trophy in 1995. It became the second time Ghana had won since winning it in 1991. Bashiru Gambo, who was an integral member of that crop, recounts how incredible the celebrations were.
If you get a chance, a country like Ghana is a football country, and then you get the opportunity to wear the jersey for the national team and defend your country. Look at the footballers we have in Ghana. We are not better than them, but we are selected to defend Ghana. If it's you, you'll be happy, and then you go there and you carry the World Cup, meeting Brazil, meeting some other country, their football country, and then you win the World Cup at Africa. Then I think you have to jubilate the whole year.
So you jubilated the whole year?
The whole year is happening. The whole year before I moved to Dortmund.
Every top side needs an instructor, someone in whose image the team plays. And in 1995, it was Sam Ade. Ade was a disciplinarian and a top coach who believed greatly in immense team unity.
Coach Ade is like somebody is like, sometimes our game, he's not watching. He sits off the bench, but he's looking somewhere. He don't watch the game. Then when he had a goal, he asked the assistant coach or Charles Alote, the general captain or anybody, who's for? He started, then he turned his face to look the field. And then he said, oh, he's a team score. Then he started jubilating. But Kotari is somebody, may God rest in peace. This kind of human being, I never meet a coach like Kotari in my career. He's a coach, he's a father, he's everything. And we are with him like he treats us like his own children. Understand? Kotari is a one in a million.
25 years on, we celebrate heroes from this crop who brought football pride to the West African country, changed naive perceptions, and made names for themselves. From Bentil to Isaka, Ameniampong to Christian Jan, Babasule to Christian Saba, we say thank you. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Ofusu-Larbi in Accra.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Bayern Munich will play Paris Saint-Germain on Sunday in Lisbon, Portugal, in the final of the UEFA Champions League, Europe's premier club football tournament. Bayern advanced to the title match Wednesday night with a 3-0 victory against Lyon in Lisbon. Serge Gnabry scored twice, and Polish star Robert Lewandowski completed the scoring on a late header. Lyon missed a couple of good scoring chances early in the match, and Cameroonian striker Toko Ekambi also missed a sitter after the break as Lyon failed to capitalize on their opportunities. Speaking in German after the match, Bayern's head coach Hansi Flick said, and I quote, "It was a very intense game. Lyon had a great performance, pressured us, and we survived with a bit of luck, especially at the start. Ultimately, Serge Gnabry's individual performance settled our nerves." Looking ahead to Sunday, Bayern is bidding for its sixth European title, while PSG is in the final for the first time. Both Bayern and PSG are also seeking a win to secure a treble of trophies this season. First round action continues Thursday in the National Basketball Association playoffs. Our VOA basketball fans will remember all of the games are being played in a special quarantine bubble in Orlando, Florida, to protect players, coaches, and officials from the coronavirus. One of the favorites for the NBA title in this strange COVID-19 season is the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers lost the opening game in their best-of-seven playoff series, 100-93, to the Portland Trail Blazers. LeBron James and the Lakers will try to even the series later Thursday night in Orlando. In his latest Game Room Sports package, VOA's Jim Stevenson had comments from LeBron, as well as other sports stories. Here's Jim.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to the Game Room.
Take anything for granted because at the end of the day, I know where I come from. I know what I stand for.
The NBA playoffs are on, and LeBron James is ready as he leads the Western Conference top seed Los Angeles Lakers.
It's my 17th season. I don't go into any season saying, okay, playoffs, championship. I'm all about the process, and whatever is at the end of that process, that I'm grateful for. And I go in with the mindset that is always preparing myself mentally, physically, and spiritually to be able to encounter anything that happens.
James said this postseason, his first in 2 years after failing to qualify last year with the Lakers, and the most unusual in league history, will be his most challenging yet as the NBA plays in its so-called bubble in Orlando, Florida.
I don't know what's different for me in this environment. As far as me locking in on an opponent and individuals, that hasn't changed. What's different is this is the environment. I'm not home. I'm not with my family. Not in my own bed. I'm not in our practice facility. I'm not preparing to be at Staples tomorrow with our fans. I'm not with a lot of things that's essential to my everyday regimen. So that's what's different. As far as mentally, that's always going to be sharp.
So are his skills, of course. He averaged 25.3 points and led the NBA with 10.2 assists per game. Even though the Portland Trail Blazers only just made it to the playoffs with a win in their final match, James says they're very tough with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
They've seen it all. They have playoff experience. They have chemistry between the two of them because they're that dangerous. And then they have a Hall of Famer in Carmelo Anthony who can erupt at any point of a game. So you have to always keen on him and have that respect factor because you know what he's capable of doing.
Beyond basketball, LeBron James was one of the signers Monday of an open letter written by More Than a Vote, a coalition of black athletes and artists whose mission is to educate, energize, and protect black voters.
Now we're serious, so serious, about what's going on in America, about our communities, about voter suppression, about just the lack of people who care for him. We put a team together to be able to give our communities the resources to let them understand what their rights are.
The More Than a Vote Coalition partnered with the Los Angeles Dodgers to use Dodger Stadium as a vote center for the presidential election in November and is aiming to get more arenas and sports facilities in use.
Really, the team is like, you know, are we going to play or not? Really, that's in the country, really. All the teams who hasn't canceled their seasons, are we going to play or not?
Players on the University of Alabama football team are anxious to learn if they'll be able to take the field soon amid wider concerns over the new coronavirus. Senior running back Najee Harris feels safe playing and thinks his school is taking precautions to keep the team safe.
We've done a good job in the facility of like keeping everything as safe as possible, as clean as possible. You know, we installed these new air humidifiers to like kill all the germs in the air. We got a lot of hand sanitizers everywhere around. We get tested more than, I feel like we practice, and that's a good thing. We got all these masks every time. We get our temperatures tested. Every time you walk in the building.
In a video conference call, junior quarterback Mac Jones agreed.
We just wanted people to hear our voice because at the end of the day, the players are the ones playing. And, you know, we feel safe here. We feel comfortable.
Jones says the Crimson Tide has many reasons to return to the field.
So we had a lot of guys that could have left last year, and they came back. So we want to play for those guys. We want to play for the younger teammates. We want to play for the whole organization, the state of Alabama. So for me, just getting that out there, we want to play in that we feel safe.
College football's governing body, the NCAA, called off fall championship events, a move that does not affect major college football. The spring calendar already features more sports than the fall, so cramming still more in, including football, would create logistical challenges. Top seed Simona Halep won her second successive Women's Tennis Association tournament with a straight sets victory over world number 23 Elise Mertens of Belgium to win the Prague Open final. She first had adjustments to make.
At the beginning, I felt like I'm hitting too strong, too flat, and she's like quicker than me. She stayed closer to the baseline and had a better touching about the ball. And then I just tried to change the rhythm. I played a little bit higher. I played a little bit further from her body and was much better.
In the second set,
I was very tired and I couldn't really move very well. But then I think again, today mental was really strong. And that's why I was able to win in two sets.
The Romanian won in Dubai, her last event before lockdown, and made a rapid return to the winner's circle with a 6-2, 7-5 win over the third-seeded Mertens in Prague. Halep is happy to make a winning return.
It was really tough to get back to the official matches after such a long break. And emotions, of course, tough rules. Staying in the room for 10 days is not easy. But I have to take the positive also. I've been able to win the tournament, which means a lot, even if it's a smaller one. It's been a great week here, and I'm happy to be back on tour with a victory.
Halep was in top form on the Prague clay, winning in 1 hour, 33 minutes to claim her 21st event on the WTA Tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, Simona Halep, Romania, Prague Open 2020 singles champion.
English golfer Sam Horsfield grabbed his second win in 3 weeks at the Celtic Classic in Wales.
Happy. You know, it was a little bit different than the last time. You know, obviously last time I had a one-shot lead, and today I was trailing by one. So I had to go out there today and grind it out, and I thought that if I didn't make a bogey, you know, it'd be kind of hard for people to catch me, and I wanted to get to a certain number to where the guys that were at like 12 were going to have a hard time catching me. They were going to have to play a hell of a round of golf. So, you know, I didn't quite reach that number. number, but yeah, I'll take it.
Horsfield finished at 18 under par, two shots better than Thomas Detry of Belgium. Horsfield credits his putting getting hot at the right time.
You know, yesterday my putter, I didn't make anything. I felt like I had a lot of good putts, but nothing went in. And then, you know, today I made about a 25 footer on three. And, you know, I sort of got the momentum rolling with the flat stick. And that putt on 17 was huge. You know, I went to be able to walk up the last with a two shot lead. You know, I thought Thomas would either birdie or eagle it. So, you know, I wanted a little bit of a cushion to where I could, you know, lay up and make par.
He had simple goals heading into the season.
When I sat down at the beginning of the year, I didn't really set like a accomplishment goal. I just wanted to improve certain aspects of my game myself. You know, like I wanted to improve my short game, you know, and I wanted to improve my GIR percentage. And, you know, I felt like if I did that, the wins and the good results would come.
Now, with two quick wins and moving up the world rankings, Horsfield qualifies for the U.S. Open and says he's definitely going. Professional golfers walk every course they play in competition. Few players actually walk to the course. But that's what Thomas Bjørn of Denmark did.
We are doing this for two great charities, UNICEF, supporting kids all over the world, and the Golf Foundation. So please donate. 210 kilometers ahead. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a big ask, but I'll let you know along the way how I'm getting on.
Bjorn's 220 kilometers or 135 miles between Wentworth and Wales took 4 days. The 49-year-old Bjorn was feeling it after the first 10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours of walking now. This is tough business, this walking business. I'm absolutely feeling it in my feet and... funnily enough, I feel it in my middle back.
It was a long journey, but for charity, he persevered.
It always seems great at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now it's a bit more of a tough test, but there you go. We're moving along. We'll get there.
Bjorn has played in 552 European Tour golf events, recording 110 top 10 finishes, of which 15 were tournament victories in 11 different countries. Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
And thanks to VOA's Jim Stevenson for that spicy and sporty game room package. Jim's game room opens with new stories each week, or you can play anytime via voanews.com. In National Basketball Association playoff action Wednesday, the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors topped the New Jersey Nets by 5 points. As we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Fred VanVleet scored 24 points, and the Raptors took a 2-0 lead with a 104-99 win over the Nets. Norman Powell also had 24 points on 11 of 17 shooting off the bench.
For me, it's just about focusing on what we got to do, you know, staying present and staying confident in your abilities and taking what the game is giving you.
Kyle Lowry had 21 points, grabbed 9 rebounds, and forced a big turnover in the closing seconds for the second-seeded Raptors. The Nets led by as many as 14 in the first quarter, and the Raptors didn't go ahead until the 3-minute mark of the fourth. Garrett Temple led the Nets with 21 points. Caris LeVert had 16 points and 11 rebounds, while Joe Harris and Jared Allen each contributed 14 points and 15 boards. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In other NBA playoff results from Orlando Wednesday, the Utah Jazz beat the Denver Nuggets 124-105 to even that first-round series at one game each. The Boston Celtics cruised past the Philadelphia 76ers 128-101. Jason Tatum scored a career playoff high 33 points for the Celtics, while Cameroonian star Joel Embiid had 34 points and 10 rebounds for the 76ers. The Celtics now lead that series 2-0. And the Dallas Mavericks defeated the Los Angeles Clippers 127-114 to even that series at one game apiece. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.